knows that murder has its uses in society. But I must say that in the past, it has been pursued with more enthusiasm than accuracy. Explosive devices certainly went off, but usually in the wrong place, at the right time, or the right place at the wrong time. Quite suddenly, however, all this inefficiency became a thing of the past. Murders began to be committed with a sort of unholy precision. A comprehensive service was now being offered by the Assassination Bureau, Limited.
This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast. I am your host, Jason Bishop, and with me today in studio is Sam Stepanenko.
Hello, hello, hello.
And coming in from Planet Vulcan, Trish Coughlin.
Hello.
Hello. It's been 2 weeks. We're back with another remaking episode, and it was just something I had written down somewhere. I'm like, that sounds good. And it turned out to be really fun, really good. We're doing the Assassination Bureau from 1969, a pleasant surprise, a little hidden gem that I really enjoyed watching. It was a little goofy, a little fun, but just because people think I don't like comedy doesn't mean it's true.
And this is where you and I differ.
Oh, you didn't like this?
I did not enjoy this at all.
Oh.
This is not my kind of film. What? I love the acting, love the performances.
Sure.
And I love the plot, but I just felt like it didn't know if it was an action movie or a comedy or an action comedy. It just didn't seem to have a full identity to me.
Interesting. Well, Trish, what did you think?
I kind of liked it. It had a level of silly, but of course, I'll be real with you. I was watching it on very little sleep. That affects my mental health. I will like a lot of things. I'm very easily amused when I'm in giddy.
I just watched it one evening after work and I had a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it for this weird period comedy where it's just a strange little plot too. You have a journalist, first time journalist, on a big case. She's tracked down that this kind of UN of assassins exists, the Assassination Bureau, and hires the head of the bureau to kill himself.
I love that. Like I said, I love the plot. I was in the wrong frame of mind. I'm not going to say that it was a terrible movie because it wasn't. And I love the subplot there of the whole Franz Ferdinand. I love this. I wish it had gone a little deeper into that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, meshing this assassination plot company thing with real history.
Yeah.
And the head of this organization, Ivan Dragomilov. I'm going to call him Dragomov because it was pretty close. I don't even know if they pronounced it the way it's written.
Yeah. I just call him Ivan.
Ivan. Yeah. So Ivan takes this as an opportunity to kind of clean house. Like the bureau was established to do good and it gets muddied along the way. Well, everybody deserves to be killed for something. So that was kind of how they justified their existence. And it was like, all right, you guys can kill me or I will kill you. And in the midst of this, their vice chair is taking the opportunity of the power struggle that's happening to take control of the organization. And he has eyes on Europe.
Yes, he does. Very much so. Which ties very well into the whole like start of the World War I plot point.
Right.
Ties in beautifully for that.
Yeah.
There's lots to like in this movie.
This was based on an unfinished novel by Jack London. Yes. Really? Yeah. He didn't finish it before he died, and it would be decades later when Robert L. Fish, a.k.a. Robert L. Pike. Yeah.
Yeah, he did that.
He did. He did that. But he finished it in the 1960s, 1963, I do believe. Then it was quickly picked up and optioned and made into this thing.
The fact that they changed it from an American setting to a European setting, I think worked in its favor because it gave him so much more to play with in terms of venues and stuff for the story.
Yeah, apparently the story is a lot more serious, a lot darker. But given the lighthearted nature of Bond movies and everybody trying to be a Bond thing, I think they were trying to take advantage of the British spy movie, even though the Bond movies weren't that light at that point. That wouldn't happen until the '70s with Roger Moore, but it seemed like all the clones were being comedies.
Yeah.
And this was kind of one of them, although it's not really a clone, although it has some of the spy gadgets and things.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if it's definitely not a clone because it's not about being a spy, right? It's about being an assassin. And I mean, as soon as I started watching it, I wanted to tie it into the John Wick verse because it kind of fits with the Continental and all that stuff.
Oh, sure.
So that's kind of where my mind went with it. And I think maybe that might have been sort of taken away from my enjoyment of the film because I was kind of in a John Wick mood by that point. And this definitely is not a John Wick film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you could probably do this. This, to me, tonally where I would go with the remake, it'd be more Bullet Train than John Wick. Have that John Wick action with that really over-the-top characters and comedic sensibility that it's just, you know, it's a world that's really interesting, but a little silly at the same time. And I kind of like that idea. My head was like, I wasn't even far into it. And I'm like, okay, I can visualize what this movie would be. And I love the whole UN of assassins. I really like the idea of meshing it with real history, but I kind of also really like the idea of moving it to contemporary. And I'm sure there's a way to mesh that in with current affairs.
Oh,
Between what's going on with Russia and the Ukraine, as well as the Gaza Strip. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, you could modernize it, because I mean, I cast to the period because I liked that so much, but I think you're right. I think we could easily bring it into contemporary times.
Yeah, I struggled with it because it was like, oh, I really like this, but I don't want to make it too close. I want to kind of take the general theme of it, the whole assassins versus assassins story. And that's all I really wanted to grab onto. Yeah. It's like, cause this movie, I think, is a fine movie on itself. So I don't really feel like I need to be that movie again. And I'm not sure a period movie would really work right now in today's climate.
That's also true.
Yeah. What I kind of also liked was the thematic bit of it where it's this whole organization that started off with what they believe to be a very virtuous cause slowly growing into corruption.
Yeah, there's some pretty interesting themes in here as well, because you got Diana Rigg here and being a female journalist in a period where women weren't treated equally, but they go right out of their way to say she's been standing up for the liberation of women who didn't have a vote at this point in time.
Yep.
And that they should be treated equally with men. So I think that was great. I mean, they were doing this in 1969. I don't know if that's in the book, but fantastic stuff. They were way ahead.
It wasn't yet.
Yeah.
And Ivan, it's so fun to watch kind of their relationship build, hers with Ivan, because he kind of views her as a colleague later on. He trusts her. He's like, oh, you're spot on right now. Like he's depending on her like he probably hasn't depended on someone before, which is kind of really fun as a partnership.
Yeah. Well, he's put on a bit of a back foot, too, because the person who hired him to kill himself is now along for the ride, and now he's got a kind of protector as well. And there are periods, not too many, but there are periods where she's put in danger because of her presence with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the hotel where they switch rooms and there's the bomb at the top there.
Yeah, or the brothel.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's so naive, and I loved that about her, right? She's like this journalist, and she's sort of completely unaware of the environment she's in when she gets to the brothel. And she's like, well, this is interesting. And has no idea what's actually going on.
Yeah.
I need to take notes.
Yeah. And I did like that scene because it was kind of funny to sort of see her in that fish out of water scenario.
Yeah. I like that each assassin within this UN of assassins was designated to a nation, and each kind of had their own business, whether it was legitimate or not. So the brothel being in France.
Well, he was also a minister as well, right?
Yeah.
And then you had the German who felt a little more involved with the military, and he was very much into fencing. That was a weird one. Yeah. And then there was Spado with his knockoff artifacts.
Yes.
And the Swiss guy who ran a bank.
Yeah.
Like, where's all this corrupt money going? This bank.
Yeah. He was probably making money off the money they were making.
You know, so the assassination was just one thing. Like, the one thing I wished was that each one ran their respective organizations with their own countries, but I wouldn't think would do their own dirty work, per se.
And I think that's probably would have been the case.
Yeah.
Or would be the case. And like I said, that, and that's why my mind went to the Continental, right? Because it kind of parallels it in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why I thought it would work, is because you have this sort of event that happens, and it points out the need for these specific rules that the Continental enforces.
Yeah.
But I like your idea of the, like, the sort of over-the-top bullet train kind of thing, too, because I did love that, too, also. And that's kind of the comedy I was hoping for, but I guess because it's so dated, I just didn't connect with it the way I would have liked to.
Yeah. Bullet Train does, I do believe, have a director in common with the John Wick franchise. So, feasibly, it could exist within that world. Yeah. There's been a couple of movies they've done, and you can make an argument, it could be in, it could be out. And this certainly would work within that universe if you wanted to. I kind of want to keep it ambiguous to say, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But, I mean, it would definitely work within that universe for sure.
Yeah, especially as a prequel. Yeah.
That's what I was about to say. You could have it as the prequel. This is where the table started.
Yeah, that's interesting. But,
But they didn't win, and now they're just, they're just take the highest bids.
Well, yeah. I have a twist for our remake. A twist. Which would solve that problem.
Nice.
Yeah. So, we could say it's in, we could say it's out. Let's keep it ambiguous, but it definitely, you could make one argument or another. And if our remake actually happens and it's successful, then put it in.
Well, that's what they did with Nobody.
Like, that's a movie where I feel like it could be in that universe, and they don't say one way or the other, but and I keep hearing rumors that it might be in, might not be in.
Well,
I wish they would just use the coins and there would be the signal. That's the tying thing.
Yeah, because I've heard rumors that not even rumors, I've read articles that say that somebody from, associated with Nobody 2, has confirmed that it actually is in the Wickiverse.
No. Wickiverse. Wickiverse.
Wickiverse.
Hey, I love a Wickiverse.
John Wickiverse. All right. Well, I think this is a good time to run the trailer for The Assassination Bureau, and we'll be right back.
You are witnessing a secret meeting of the most secret organization in the world. The Assassination Bureau.
The title is the Assassination Bureau. Limited.
You admit you take human life for money.
Money is life. Don't you agree?
You're a monster.
Oliver Reed, a monster? Impossible. Impetuous, perhaps.
It means, my friends, that you must kill me, or I will kill you.
Careless, possibly. Considerate? Certainly. A tender lover, of course.
Miss Winter, surrender.
Why not?
A master of diplomacy.
Since our relationship became less formal, I observe a tendency on your part to nag.
A nag? Diana Rigg? That Avengers adventuress? Surely there's never been a more delightfully unpredictable bundle of femininity. One moment, the wide-eyed innocent.
Surely this is a place of assignation.
And the next?
I want someone assassinated.
Replace the lid.
Resourceful.
Well done, Miss Winter. On the spot as usual. Demure.
I am a British citizen!
Calm in the face of danger. A deliciously diverting, delightfully irreverent chronicle of crime, wickedness, and virtue triumphant.
Get your clothes off!
That was the trailer for The Wickiverse. No, The Assassination Bureau from 1969, directed by Basil Dearden. And you know him from League of Gentlemen. This was a long-running franchise in the UK. Sapphire and Dead of Night. You might not know. You'd have to be an old Brit to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is based on the unfinished novel by Jack London, and of course you know him from classics like White Fang, Call of the Wild, and The Seawolf, all who have lots of adaptations in film and television.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
And this is also based on the novel by Robert L. Fish, a.k.a. Robert L. Pike, who wrote Diary of the Dead and Bullet.
Yes, I was surprised by that one.
Me too. Screenplay was by Michael Ralph. And he wrote Masquerade and Man in the Moon.
Oh.
Additional dialogue by Wolf Mankiewicz, who had something to do with the writing of Dr. No.
Interesting.
Yeah, and we got lots of Bond connections today. And also episode 155, Casino Royale. He also wrote Black Beauty and Treasure Island. This guy has written a lot of my favorite things.
Nice.
This stars Oliver Reed as Ivan Dragomiloff. Or Dragunov, depending on who was saying it at any particular time. Most modern audiences remember him as the trainer from Gladiator, who passed away during the production of that movie. By the way, Gladiator 2 is coming?
What?
No, I know.
I mean, I knew the whispers of it, but Jesus. Does he have to go back to everything?
Apparently.
Like, that's not a movie that needs a sequel.
No. It should not have a sequel.
It should not have a number at all. I mean, it could be a different Gladiator story. Yeah, right? As well, it should be, but why do you have to call it Gladiator 2? Hopefully it's not called Gladiator 2. Rant over. Oliver Reed was also in a movie we talked about, and this was a pleasure to come across. Episode 372.
The Lady in the Car with the Glasses and a Gun.
I so adore that movie. If you haven't listened to that episode, go back to the episode after you watch the original 70s movie. Well, actually, watch them both. They're all both pretty good.
They are both pretty good.
Yeah. Diana Rigg is Sonya Winter. Great spy name.
Mm-hmm.
And she is one of the most historic spies of all. She was Emma Peel in The Avengers on television. And she was also in Last Night in Soho more recently. Yeah. And another Bond movie, On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Yes, she was.
Yep. Telly Savalas was Lord Bostwick, who was also in On Her Majesty's Secret Service. But we've talked about him in two other episodes, 372. Very recently.
Is that Capricorn 1?
That's the one.
Okay. I missed the other one.
And 282, Cape Fear.
Yeah, I missed that one.
And most older audiences remember him as Kojak. Mm-hmm. Kerr Jurgens, or Jurgens, was General Van Pinnick. Well, I kept hearing it as Pink, though.
Yeah.
Pinnick.
Mr. Pink.
General Pink. He was in Golden Girl, The Longest Day, but also a Bond movie. Do you remember that one, Sam?
No.
The Spy Who Loved Me.
Now I remember.
Yeah. Philippe Noiret was Monsieur Locoville and was in Cinema Paradiso and Topaz.
Yeah, he's been in some good stuff.
Sure has. Mm-hmm. Warren Mitchell was Herr Weiss, and we talked about him in episode 88.
Jabberwocky.
And two more episodes later in episode 90.
Okay, this is Murder on the Orient Express?
No, this
Day of the Jackal?
The Crawling Eye.
I missed that one. So he was in four episodes.
And I missed those two.
And I forgot to write down the episode number, so that's what I was guessing. Okay. Yeah, he was also in Murder on Orient Express and Day of the Jackal.
Perfect. Beryl Reed, no relations to Oliver, spelled differently, was Madame Otero. Beryl. Okay. She was in Yellowbeard and The Wind in the Willows.
Oh.
Clive Revel was Cesare Spado. And most kids my age would know him as the voice of Kickback from Transformers. But we talked about, well, we probably never mentioned him, but he was in episode 123, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, see, most of these guys have credits pushing 200. And they have 400 episodes. It's getting harder and harder to catch all the connections.
It sure
is. It's the bucket list.
That's where me and Sam catch each other, and we probably still miss stuff.
Yeah.
Vernon Dobchev was Baron Munsoff, and he was in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. He was also in the Bond movie The Spy Who Loved Me and 181 Murder on the Orient Express.
Ooh. Yeah, I think he's the one who had 376 credits, and I went,
fuck it. He was in a lot of stuff. Annabella Incontrera was Eleonora Spado, and she was in So Sweet, So Dead. Kenneth Griffith was Monsieur Popescu, and he was in Four Weddings and a Funeral. And Jess Conrad was the ill-fated Angelo, and poor Angelo was used as a dead body for Ivan, and he was in Hell is Empty and The Flesh and Blood Show.
Nice.
That covers everybody. Probably not everybody, but close enough.
Yeah, it had a pretty decent sized cast, but those are the key characters.
Yeah. It was tough kind of like when I was doing my casting, and I kind of just kept it a little more generic depending on where we wanted to take it, because it's a globe-trotting movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, because I was kind of wanted to, at the time I was thinking of it as a period piece leading up to the events of the First World War, I kind of kept it, my cast, of the type that they were because of the wealth of scenery that you get by having them travel to different countries. I love that and showing those sort of different cultures, even though it was all done on sets somewhere in London.
I don't want to take that away from this film. I think that it was one of the more enjoyable aspects of the film. Now, I mean, we're going to make it contemporary, but we can still be globetrotting.
Yeah.
I think that is what really makes a Bond movie and these kind of assassination intrigue movies as well. I mean, there's smaller assassination movies. I kept looking at other assassination movies and assassin movies and just kind of trying to figure out where I wanted to go with this. And maybe some other things.
And maybe some other things, yeah.
That will come up later.
Yes.
But yeah, the plot's very simple. Girl is trying to write a story and maybe do some good in the world by shutting this down.
Exactly. And I think, because she's very moral. She's like, killing is, nobody almost deserves to be killed is her motto.
Yeah. Which almost is chaste moral.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then Ivan's moral code is the exact opposite. Like, everybody's done something to deserve to be killed. I got to admit, I love that opening sequence with the black and white video. And they're talking about how everybody has done something that would justify them being killed. I really enjoyed that. Right? I'm like, ooh, I'm in for a good movie. When that came up, and I'm like, at the end of it. But
yeah, they were showing some of their assassinations. Some of them were pretty goofy. But it sets the tone for what you're going to get from this movie. It's a bit Wile E. Coyote.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's not my kind of humor. I think that might be why I didn't enjoy it as much as you guys did. Like I said, I didn't hate it. Like, there's lots and lots of stuff to love in it, like the performances and the story. But yeah, just
The dialogue's wonderful, isn't it?
It is absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think just the limitations of the time, and that was also the type of humor at the time. But yeah, I think that for me, I would like to see, like you said, more along that bullet train.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith action comedy type of stuff where it's just a little bit over the top.
Yeah. There were times I'm like, oh, I don't know if Sam's going to like this when I was watching it, because they do these like things with the camera where it'd be like pull out on a dramatic point.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God, this is so campy.
Yeah.
But not like Flash Gordon campy. Like it really rides a line.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, it wrote it well enough that I didn't hate the movie.
Right.
It just, again, not my kind of comedy.
Yep, nope, that's totally fair. Yeah. That's, we're going to come across that. And I like that there's a dissenting voice in the room today.
Oh, yeah.
Usually Sam and I are on the same page, so this is weird.
I know. Yeah. Usually I'm the dissenting voice. Yeah. It's very weird. Well, I don't know how I feel about this.
Do you feel weird, Trish?
I feel weird. I do want to keep Sonya to be kind of learning as she goes along, because, I mean, at that scene in the hotel where she hears the ticking and knows about the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
That she finds it herself.
Well, that's because
it's
hard
to get to.
That was established earlier. They made a point.
Yeah.
Of
oh, I love that.
Explaining the bomb before we ever see it active.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's well constructed. It's like, this movie is so well constructed. They drop hints about stuff really well.
Yeah. Although she winds up getting ditched at some point because he's trying to lose her, and then she just winds up on the train, and it shows that she's more capable than she lets on.
Well, right? And that he's not always as capable as he thinks he does, because he left the ticket in his jacket when he left it with her, right?
Yeah. So, rookie mistake.
Yeah. Or did he really want her to find it? Like, that's the question you have.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Diana Rigg. Yeah, I want her to follow me.
I know, yeah.
She's gorgeous. She's Emma Peel, damn it.
She's Emma Peel, yes.
Right?
Part of me really wanted Sonya to have a secret of her own.
Like a twist?
Like a twist.
Yeah. I had a thought in my head. I'm like a twist. Like she'd kind of known something more about the Assassination Bureau than she ever let on.
Well, I don't know. Do I want to reveal my twist?
It might be the same twist that I have in mind. So so we'll save it.
Okay, we'll save it. We'll definitely save it. So contemporizing it, I think, might be the key, and the globetrotting. Now, I mean, I think the action stuff needs to just be more contemporary, more in tune.
High
with, paced. Yeah, fast paced. Yeah. And I still love the globetrotting, but it would be a little bit more wilder characters like you see on Bullet Train, but and keep that snappy dialogue.
For sure. Yeah, less Keystone Cops.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of Keystone Cops moments in this movie, especially the Paris scene with the brothel.
Yeah, I want to see people who have very unique styles in the way they do things. Snipers, poisoners, you know, walk-by stabbings.
Poisoner.
Yeah, there is.
Well, they were hinting at it, kind of. I mean, you had the one guy comes in with the bratwurst that he's trying to put a bomb in. Mm-hmm. So bombs are him. the general... Sword fighting, that's him. And then Eleonora poisoning, that's her. And I think it's Cesare Spado as well. I mean, I think they do have their own ways of dealing with it.
Yeah, there was the one guy in the bureau before anybody said go, threw a knife at his head.
Yeah.
They got one Spado.
Exactly.
But yeah, I want to see some of the hand-to-hand. I want to see some gunplay and mix it up so every sequence from country to country to country is unique and different, and the settings being unique and different too. And they were in this one as well, but you know, it also feels old and 60s. They don't have the fast cameras and the fast choreography that we have now. And that I kind of want to introduce that, but with a comedic aspect as well.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I think that there's a really good bones on this film, and it's something that everybody should see.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a fan, it's particularly of like classic spy films, you should see it.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth watching.
Now, I did notice something like Ivan's Oliver Reed, he appears younger than everybody else in the Bureau.
Well, they explain
that. And they do. He's inherited it from his father, and he wants to bring it back to his father's ideals, who had founded the Bureau. And I kind of want to use that where maybe the rest of the circle within the heads of the Bureau don't respect him that much or even think he has any real capabilities, where he's got plenty.
Where he's got plenty, yes.
But he's kept them secret.
I totally agree. Yes. And my cast of the circle is definitely older than he is, and quite a broad range of older as well.
Yeah.
Like, so, because some of
most of mine is too.
I was literally trying to find people from different countries to play as their. I stunt casted too. I wanted people who had done assassin roles in other movies.
Oh, you made it really hard for yourself.
Oh,
I sure did. I sure did. But I did kind of give up trying to pair them up to each character in this movie because I didn't think that was overly important.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because. Although I did like the cheating wife. kills her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I actually kept her and cast her because I thought she was a key part of the story in some ways.
Yeah, I got enough people written down that I'm sure I can yank her from somewhere.
Well, I had the idea. I mean, I thought she had her eyes set on being part of the Bureau.
Well, she did.
That was what I was considering. So,
well, yeah, when she found out the bounty, there was, 20,000 was the original commission by Diana Rigg.
Yeah.
And then Telly Savalas had the bonus 10. The bonus 10 would go to whoever did the deed.
Yeah.
And she's had eyes on that 10.
Yeah.
She was a greedy woman, and she inherited Spatto's estate and, you know, sleeping with anybody on the side. And now there's this money comes along too. It's like everybody's disposable just for her lifestyle.
For her lifestyle, yeah. And I mean, in all fairness, I mean, she obviously married Spatto for the money because they were a very mismatched pair.
Yeah, no, she's a black widow, and I love that little subplot there. And that's the kind of bullet train Guy Ritchie-esque thing that I would love to kind of keep in here.
Yeah, for sure. I actually really enjoyed that setup for the next part of the film.
That sets up a point where Oliver Reed gets to fake his death and gets into the endgame. And the endgame's weird because it's Telly Savalas takes on this commission to destroy Europe. I wasn't sure if he was trying to start a war or if he was just trying to blow up Europe because he didn't give a shit about Europe.
General, I will return with you to Germany. Where will your headquarters be?
My hunting lodge at Rothenburg.
Ah, and the peace conference will take place just across the frontier in the castle of Minsk. Very convenient. I will summon the members of our bureau to meet us at Rothenburg.
But my staff will be there, my officers.
Of course, and they'll be very useful. So goodbye, Ivan.
You're going to miss our greatest assignment of all. At my commission, the assassination of Europe.
I think he was
he's mustache twirling.
Yeah.
I think he was trying to start a war. And I mean, honestly, when you have a war, you sell lots of newspapers. And I think he also had his hands in, he's talking about them buying a bunch of weapons, investing in weapons companies. Like he's looking for the cash.
Yeah. If you don't like the news, make the news.
Yeah.
That's kind of his motto.
And I think that's kind of where it was going, but that was really muddy.
Yeah, it wasn't very well explained, and it feels very underdeveloped and kind of cartoony.
Yes.
Like, I want a villain with more depth. I mean, I like the idea of him sparking World War One,
or with a major world event of some sort. Yeah.
Of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I like that idea, but we have to get a clear motive behind it, whether that be to sell weapons, to sell newspapers, all of the above.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not both?
Well, I mean,
greed is limitless, guys.
Yeah, you got somebody who's rich; they could own a multimedia company, Rupert Murdoch, while still owning weapon manufacturers. I mean, he could be a billionaire with a lot of different fingers and pies.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. It's just to bump up his economy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the weird thing about wealth is it seems like you reach a certain point where it's just never enough unless you get all the money.
And
it's strange.
Yeah. And the current political climate, such a tinderbox, it would be really easy to spark something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to keep that. And like I said, we just have to make sure that it's clear that that is his motive.
Yeah. Utilizing the organization. And I think like a big giant bomb, doesn't really work anyway, but pulling the organization, essentially turning it into like Spectre.
It's kind of what I thought of when
hire.
Yeah, that was the thing is, he did kind of turn it into sort of this evil corporation.
Mm-hmm. That's what he was going for. Yeah.
But with no clear motivation. Kind of like Spectre. Spectre never really does have a clear motivation.
So, Spectre just wants to just do shit.
Yes. Well, everyone tried to get rich doing it. I think it was always a business model, but it... It never feels very clear when you watch those movies.
No, it really never does.
Yeah.
But in our movie,
it'll be clear.
It'll be clear.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, I do want to do something different with the Diana Rigg character. Journalism might be a good cover, but what organization like this would allow such a thing?
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
it's a secret organization.
It is a secret organization, but that's part of the comedy is that how easily she's accessed it, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I mean, she does do it undercover through a series of blind drops and stuff like that. So anybody who understands the messages would be able to do that. But you know what? Maybe she uses the dark web instead. If we're modernizing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we add in a character. She's got a buddy who's a hacker buddy.
Yeah. I mean, this might be what Ivan wants, this game, to clean up the bureau.
And kind of points her in the right direction.
Yeah. But at the same time, she's probably going to be dead by the end of this movie because it's still a secret assassin organization. Yeah. And he's just keeping her around because it's interesting, at least at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because it's something a little different. Might be a little advantageous for him having certain connections out there, but I don't see much of a reason for the Oliver Reed character to keep her around.
No.
Other than to execute the commission and get the money.
Well, and that's the thing is he initially didn't want her around.
No.
I mean, she stalked him to make sure that she got her whole story.
Yeah. I guess in the original film, he can't kill her, otherwise they don't get paid.
But, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty simple. But at the same time, a journalist has uncovered some unsavory things in the real world, they usually go missing. That happens very frequently in our real world.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
But I mean, I still like the idea of her being a journalist, but I don't think that we would have her revealed so early on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that was the thing, is it kind of caught me by surprise, was how quickly that bomb dropped.
Yeah.
In terms of her relationship with Ivan.
Yeah. And she's secretly backed by Telly Savalas, who owns the paper that she's going to write the article for. And this is just so he'll be in the know and know exactly how they're moving around and what they're doing.
Yeah. He saw a window of opportunity there and
embedded her as a spy.
Yeah. And that she volunteered to do in the first place. Like, she brought it to him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when he revealed her as the journalist, like, essentially right away, it's like, that could have played a better further down the line with that reveal. I think I would like to see them have established a cover story for knowing each other.
Mm-hmm.
That he knew that her parents or whatever kind of thing. And so that just to further misdirect Ivan's character.
Yeah. Well, I want her to have lots of misdirections too, because I have a twist.
You have a twist.
You have a twist.
I twist. I like the idea of her manipulating everybody.
Oh, for sure.
She's manipulating Savalas or Bostwick, Lord Bostwick. She's manipulating Ivan. And she wants control of the organization. Twist.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going.
Nice.
So, like, Ivan's kicking ass, taking names the whole movie, and then she blindsides him at the end of the movie. Like, it doesn't end on a happy note, even though it's fun. And she takes the organization away from him.
I'm all on board for that. That's kind of where I was going, too. I wanted her to have that secret competence that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
it's all an act.
Yep.
You were discussing, you're like, oh, she has a hacker buddy. Maybe that's just what she tells people. She is the hacker.
Yeah.
She knows everything.
Yeah.
Oh, she's capable. She's well-trained. That's why she'll show up out of nowhere when she probably should have been left behind. Or maybe she's in a no-win situation. We cut away and she's walking up and everything.
And tosses her hair.
Tosses her hair and like, wait, were you alive?
Yeah. I'd love subtle little hints, but really, really subtle little hints that she's more than she says she is.
Yeah. And we never get to see those moments until like right at the end. And then you can kind of flash back to all the cool shit she did.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, totally on board. That's exactly what I was thinking too.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, you could have wild things like the bomb in the hotel. She put that there. It was a misdirect against Ivan.
Yeah. I mean, we're probably not going to duplicate the scenes in here, but
no.
I mean,
I'm just saying, as an example, she'll do something to put herself in danger.
Oh, sure. I mean, whatever she can to earn his trust, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And to feed the ruse.
Yes.
Yeah. She's got to be a journalist this is an alien world tour.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously not.
Like, obviously not. Yeah. That's the thing is that, they're just having those moments where something doesn't quite add up, but you don't know what the numbers are in the first place.
You know what? I had this is weird. It was a secondary twist, but you know that kind of sad sack character, Baron Murnov or whatever, that's always hanging around with Telly Savalas and drinking?
Yeah, the Russian. Yeah.
And sad? I'm like, I want him to be a little more than that. I thought for some reason, I don't know why, but I was like, I wish they were in cahoots, like her and the little very sad Russian.
Who was sent to kill her.
Yeah, because he's just tired. Yeah. He's like, I don't like this anymore. I want out.
I actually just thought of how if we wanted to mesh this into the Wicca 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 verse. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to be amused by that. The Bureau itself is a counter-organization. And if she's working for this, a seat on the high table to absorb this into their organization.
Yeah.
So there you go. If you wanted to do that, there's your in.
Your connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that would guarantee her a seat on the high table.
And that's mm-hmm. what she wants. Yeah.
Yeah. That's if we do that. But yeah, you know, there's your in if you want to do it.
You don't even have to say it outright. You can just say this guarantees my seat. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not where.
Yeah. Cool. I like how that worked.
Yes.
It worked. Yes.
But yeah, I don't want to take the whole international UN assassination thing. That is so cool.
That is very, very cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't really see how vast it is. And that's something we could do in a modern setting. Even though this movie was fairly expensive, I don't know what the budget was, but when you read about it, it sounds like it was quite a bit more expensive than movies from this time.
With all the special effects.
That's right.
Yeah.
They had to build a Zeppelin.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
And those wonderful explosions.
I mean, the compositing was very obvious. But.
Yeah. Yeah, when they had to pretend destroy a Zeppelin. Oh, my God. And I'm so sorry. It's so dumb, but I laughed my ass off when Oliver Reed gets out of the blimp with a bit of the blimp.
This movie's always takes an opportunity to have some fun. That's what I like about it. Mm-hmm. It's silly. Now, we're going to keep the action comedy for sure, but it's going to be very different. And I'll leave that up to a choreographer and some snappy writing that I'm perfectly capable of doing. Hi, hire me.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not the kind of snappy dialogue we can write in an hour and a half.
No, not in an hour and a half. So if we even go an hour and a half. But, you know, believe us when it would be really snappy. Snappy dialogue, great choreography somehow. In the script, you go action shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And write it later.
Then there's a big fight with these people.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah, and you kind of want to have big scenes like that in between acts. And that's the subplot, though. You can have that, the manipulations of Winter with Ivan and that love building, we think. as she's the seductress, but we don't know that.
Yeah.
And that would be our second act as a subplot as we're bouncing from country to country to country.
Yes. Yes, it would be.
Now, a climactic scene. Maybe she wants control of the organization, but she doesn't like the plans of Bostwick. I mean, she needs to take control of the organization, but she needs to take control of the guy who would inherit the organization.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or just take him out entirely.
Yeah. So that would be, I mean, maybe that's a great place to do that reveal. Somewhere near the end, and it's looking like maybe Ivan's going to fail to stop whatever Bostwick's planning to do.
Yeah.
And then she takes him out.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, good show. Chipper chip or whatever. I think he should be American, but something snappy. And then she pops him. Surprise.
Yep. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Yeah.
With some wonderful exposition as she's doing it.
Snappy dialogue's really key here.
Yeah.
I probably should have looked at script writers on this one. We don't usually do the script writer.
No, but this would have been a good one to do that, yeah.
Yeah. Now, anybody got some ideas they want to throw in? Because I'm so eager to get to casting.
No, I think we've kind of covered the sort of bones of it as we do.
Yeah.
I
mean,
yeah.
Because each...
It's got simple bones, but they're strong bones.
They're strong bones.
That's what I was about to say. They're strong bones. It's a simple premise, but very enjoyable.
Yeah. Mm. And I like the structure of it. I like the way it was structured.
Mm-hmm.
The ending is the one thing that had to be cleaned up. And we haven't really done that because we don't really know.
Yeah. Like we were talking that it would be manipulating a crisis within that part of the world. Yeah. It could be a Middle East or a Russian issue. It would be something where there'd be a financial gain, I think, for Bostwick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, the type of event would be maybe blowing up a power plant or something like simple that would cause havoc.
Yeah. I mean, everybody lives in fear that some psycho is going to drop the bomb one day, yeah. right? And maybe, maybe a nuke goes off in Ukraine or Russia. I mean, that would certainly motivate Russia.
Yeah, yeah. Or make it look like Russia's.
I mean, what if Russia did it on their own soil and just blamed somebody?
Yeah.
My God, that would start a global yeah. war regardless.
Yeah, not out of the realm.
I mean, politicians lie all the time.
Right?
What, do you mean they actually tell the truth some of the time? I find that hard to believe.
That's why I said all of the time. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we got some good bones here. Let's get to some casting. Sammy.
Okay. I will go first. Let me bring my book up. So I cast a whole bunch of people. They can change or not. It doesn't matter to me. But we started with my Ivan, Dragomilov. Dragon something. I'll cast Tom Ellis because I love his charm.
Oh, nice. That's okay. Going for the suave.
The suave charm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lucifer.
Yeah, exactly. My Sonya Winter, I went Daisy Ridley because she can play that innocent ingenue very well.
And can do nice. The action shit.
And can do the action shit. So you can tell I was thinking that way, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yep. I'm liking things so far.
My Lord Bostwick is Paul Bettany.
Nice.
All right.
My General Von Pinnock or Pink, whatever you want to say it, is Christoph Waltz.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. I thought about putting Christoph in there.
Yeah. My Eleanor Spado is an Italian actress named Caterina Marino. She was in Casino Royale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's more modern. She's more age appropriate for the role. She's mm-hmm. in like early to mid 40s.
Okay.
For my Monsieur Lucoville, I went with Jean Reno.
Nice.
Nice.
I had to use him too.
Yeah. How can you not?
Right. He's got to be the French guy. The, yeah. The one that leads the French yeah. organization.
Yeah. Especially considering he's older now.
I do
now,
have
right?
a good French guy.
Oh, you can.
You'll like mine.
If you have a younger one too. Like, yeah. I think you should have like the leader and then a younger one yeah. to do the work.
Do the work. Yeah. His right hand kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't get that deep into it.
No. And it was way too much casting.
Yeah.
But I think between all of us, we could probably integrate everybody.
Yeah. And then for my Herr Weiss, I went with Jürgen Prochnow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and again, yeah. see, we're getting that broad range of ages, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
For my Cesar Spado, I went with Armand Desante.
Oh.
I almost did that. I almost did exactly that.
Yeah. And then my Baron Muntzov is Til Schweiger.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Yes. I like those. That's where I put my limitations on myself, and that's where I got stuck.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And then for my director, I brought up Nobody, and I actually used the director from Nobody, Ilya Naishuler, as the director for it, because I think he balances the funny moments really well with the action moments.
Yeah, he'd be good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, Trish, what do you got?
Okay. I just want to preface this is when I was watching this movie, I was just so sad. It was one time I was like, I wish I could cast Anton Yelchin. I think he would have been lovely in the lead role because he would have aged into the right area and he would have pulled it off.
Yeah. We miss Anton.
Yes, we do.
We do. We do. So I went for Ivan Dragomilov, Yuri Kolokolnikov. He has been on Game of Thrones. He hasn't done anything really huge. I watched his demo reel, and he's the guy that Ryan Reynolds is fighting in The Hitman's Bodyguard in the hardware store.
Oh,
so he's done action, and he's kind of ruggedly handsome. Yeah. And gets, I like
give somebody a good breakout role.
Exactly. For Sonya Winter, I went with Gemma Arterton, because she can also pull off the little doe-eyed
right.
innocent.
Right.
Lord Bostwick, Billy Zane. I feel he embodies Tilly Savalas' energy.
Okay.
For General Von Pink, Daniel Brühl from Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Monsieur yeah. Lucoville, Vincent Castle.
I almost went with him as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But my Herr Weiss, that's where I put Christoph Waltz in.
Okay.
Nope, that's fine.
Cesare Spado, Bobby Cannavale.
Very good.
I thought that was good. For my Baron Muntzov, Sebastian Stan, because I just want to see him in glasses and just sad. Because I think he would be funny pulling that off. And then, like, if he has more going on behind the eyes, I like that idea.
Yeah.
For my Eleonora Spado, it's Gaia Scodelario. She's an Italian actress, and she was in You, Me, and the Apocalypse. She played, like, Sister Colleen? For Madame Otero, I went with Julie Delpy, in case we want to do something a little bit more in the brothel. And then for my directors, Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, who did Swiss Army Man and Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so they can do wacky and fun.
Okay, I might need your help to place some of these guys, because I kind of went by, like, okay, this would represent a country.
Okay.
Okay.
But as far as my leads go, for Ivan, I went with Ryan Reynolds, because he can do the action stuff, he can do the dialogue, and I kind of like that he might meet a bad end of this one, and it's not his franchise after all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he doesn't need any more.
No. And no. So
he's too busy.
Yeah. And so Anya Taylor-Joy would be Sonya Winter. And like I said, great spy name. And if we go with the twist, she's the one who carries forward.
And I thought about her too. She has that Diana Rigg energy.
Yeah. Now for Baron Mutsoff, I went with Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah,
and the movie in question that he does the assassin thing in, Polar.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I had a few options for Lord Bostwick, and we can move things around. Pierce Brosnan, Jason Statham, which is the mechanic, or Mark Strong, Kingsman.
Mark Strong, I think, is a Lord Bostwick. Yeah.
Think so?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I have, for the U.S. contingent, I had George Clooney from The American. I had Jean Reno for the French guy, Lucaville, Monsieur.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, what Sam did. And if you don't know the movie in question, Leon the Professional.
Yep.
Chow Yun-Fat for China.
Oh, there we go.
Nice.
For Ireland, Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell was on my little, my mental list as well, yeah.
For Spain, either Antonio Banderas, which was Assassins, or Javier Bardem, which was No Country for Old Men. Although he was more of a psycho killer.
Yes. It's a gray area. It's gray area. We'll let you have it.
He was for hire.
He's done that Bond movie where he is blonde and weird.
Yeah. It was weird. Also for France, I thought Anne Perelaud for Madame Popescu, who was Nikita in the original La Femme Nikita, which would be older now, right? More people for kind of the younger henchman type. They're going to do the dirty work. Maybe Karen Gillan from Gunpowder Milkshake.
Yep.
Or even Lena Headey. Timothy Oliphant from Hitman.
That was a gimme.
Yeah. Jessica Chastain from Ava. Mary Elizabeth Winstead from Kate. Norman Reedus, Boondock Saints.
That's a gray area, Jay, but I'm going to give you that one.
Zoe Saldana, Colombiana. And Christian Bale, Equilibrium.
Yes. The beginning of Gunkata.
Gunkata. That's right, right? So I didn't do specific, but we can mesh them how we feel like. And your casting's fantastic as well. So that's kind of what I had for director. I went with Olivier Megaton. That guy should be an assassin himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
He directed Taken 2 and 3, Transporter 3, and Columbiana.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pedigree.
Yeah. So I grabbed all the assassins and I still didn't grab them all.
No, there's a lot out there.
There's a ton of assassin movies, guys.
Yeah. I mean, I was still looking for a place for Colin Firth. there's plenty. That's where my head was going. I'm like, I could do this. And as I started writing things down, I'm like,
I just had a genius idea.
Huh?
You wanted a prequel movie for the two guys from Bullet Train?
Mm-hmm.
They need to be in this.
Oh, because I was so mad when one of them died.
Yes.
Yes.
They need to be in it. I don't care. They need to be in it.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a small cameo role, they need to be in it.
I agree. They need their own movie.
Yes.
But this could be it. I'd be very happy, immensely happy.
There's only one thing I do kind of want. It's like you've got the country contingencies. I do want a Canadian part.
Well, I was thinking Norman Reedus because that was a Canadian-made movie.
But yeah,
he's not Canadian.
Yeah, he's not
No. Like if you go old, you could have Donald Sutherland as the guy, and then
you could do Kiefer.
Yeah, Kiefer Sutherland, and then like Ryan Gosling's the younger guy doing all the hard work, or Simu Liu. He could be also Canadian one.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. IMDb gives this a 6.4 out of 10.
Which is probably pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I didn't enjoy it as much as you guys did, I still recognize it as probably about that as in terms of quality.
And that's how we approach things, too. We can usually recognize a movie for being a half-decent movie, even though if it doesn't play to our own particular tastes. Rotten Tomatoes.
Grr.
This is never going away.
Yeah,
I tried. Nothing replaces this that's torture that I get to give you every couple of weeks.
No.
But you've been on a roll, man.
I know, but it's been weird. If Sam's available, I don't know. He steals my mojo.
I don't know.
Actually, not last time. Not... You were on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys switched mojos. What happened?
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. So let's see if the now that I've talked it up, see if you still got it. Yeah, it usually goes the other way.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What do you think critics thought of The Assassin Bureau?
58.
Oh, no. I'm thinking closer to like 73, 74, 73.
78%.
Hit.
Yeah, I so took your mojo. Yeah.
You stole it, Sam. You stole it.
You need to read the room, Trish. 6.4 on IMDb tells me that...
I know, but critics are usually harsher.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, let's see if the audiences were harsh or forgiving. Did they like it or didn't they? What do you think the audiences did?
Modern audiences? I'm going to say they still like it, but not as much. I'm going to go 65.
68.
Trish is closest, 69%.
There we go. We split the mojo.
We did.
Half a mojo. That's like...
Half a mojo. That sounds like we're sharing a snack.
Well, like... mojo is a snack. There's that tiny little candy. Do they still make mojos?
I don't know.
I mean, they're pretty tiny as it is, so half a mojo would be like...
Like a Tic Tac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A very chewy Tic Tac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you can get mojos anymore. I'm old. But yeah, The Assassination Bureau. Man, I had fun. And I think part of it, too, was I wasn't very far into it and already seeing what this could be.
Yeah.
Once I realized what it was going to be, it takes very little time for you to realize where this is going or what this is going to be.
Very little time. And like I said, I was already kind of remaking it as we were watching it.
Yeah.
Or as I was watching it.
Although it does run a little long for what it is. I think our movie could get away with the 110 minutes, but this one didn't.
No.
It should have been, given the simplicity of it, probably should have been an hour and a half or just a wee bit longer.
Yeah.
Well, what I was thinking when I was watching it was why it was so long, because I was looking at that table and going like, well, how many of these are we going to see?
Like, almost
that's
everybody.
Gonna take time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of why it was like extended. I'm like, yeah, because you want to see some of these guys die. You really do.
And there were some scenes that were a little longer than they needed to be because the dialogue was so good. Right. And I'll be honest with you, even with the Tubi commercials, I didn't really notice the time passing.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So until it got to the third act there and that got weird. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm starting to watch the watch.
Yeah. Yeah, and as Sam said, this is available on Tubi. It's also available on Plex. The Tubi ads are going to be a lot less annoying, so maybe make that your option.
Yes, please.
If you don't go buy a copy as well, you can go rent one and then just avoid the commercials entirely.
Yeah. Mm.
But it doesn't seem to be too hard to find.
No, and the poster's great.
It is a great poster.
Yeah.
Very pink.
Yes.
Very, very Barbie. Barbie the Assassin.
Oh, yeah, that was the one doll they didn't show. He was busy. She was busy doing shit. That's why she couldn't be in Barbie Land saving it.
I mean, that's the toy you want to attach your flag to, man.
Yeah.
Hells yeah.
John Wick 4 didn't make $1 billion, but Barbie did.
Yep.
Yeah, it did. It's a one-and-done movie, according to... everybody involved with it so far, anyhow. Whereas John Wick is forever.
Yeah.
Again, it's great.
If they can come up with strong enough movies, like there are enough Barbies within the Barbie movie where they can actually make ones focused on the different versions of the characters. Yeah. And I think I'd be fine with that. But yeah, might be just left to leave it alone. I think that not everything needs a franchise, even though we were kind of attaching this one to a franchise that may have already ran its course. Who knows?
But maybe, but yeah, I mean, and that's why we want to be like open the door to it being attached without actually attaching it to it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think they've done that, those directors and producers of the John Wick movies with their other projects. Yeah. They've always made them tangentially adjacent where you could feasibly insert them in if they want.
But yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of a sort of a generic universe, right? Mm-hmm. Is you can do whatever you want and maybe revive or rebuild a universe that might be fading.
Yeah. I'm so shocked that they haven't moved some of these other movies that they've done in there already, but our first official spinoff is later this year, Ballerina.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not counting the Continental.
Yeah, I guess the second spinoff. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Ballerina, though.
Yeah, me too. Actually, this summer's looking like Jay might get back to the theater, because I love the Planet of the Apes franchise. We've got a new one of those.
Oh, really?
And Furiosa looks stellar.
Oh, and it's got your new girlfriend in it, so...
That's true. And Godzilla in a few weeks. Actually, shortly after you hear this episode, Godzilla Cross Kong will be opening.
Oh.
Which should be fun. I don't know if it'll be good, but it'll be fun.
That's why you go to Godzilla movies. Yeah. Don't expect good. Expect fun.
Yeah. Did you see the Deadpool trailer from the Super Bowl?
No.
I have mixed feelings about it because I saw it and I'm like, I don't like this trailer. And it feels off. And I feel like... nothing in that trailer is actually going to be in the movie. That's how that trailer watches.
Oh, I hate that sensation when you're like, I know I'm watching the best parts.
Well, I think this is pure genius, because if none of that stuff's in the movie.
And that's a very Reynolds thing to do.
Yeah.
And yes, all the stuff they cut out and left. It's like, yeah, no, this isn't good enough to be in the movie, but.
Yeah. I mean, the sure sign was like the movie, we all know the movie's called Deadpool Wolverine, and all we get is the shadow of Wolverine in the trailer. So I'm like, I think you haven't edited a trailer together yet. This is all just made for Super Bowl.
Yeah. And yeah, it sounds like it's actually pretty genius, actually.
Yeah. But I guess we'll wait and see when the penny drops if I'm right about that or not. But yeah, I was like, oh, that was kind of underwhelming. And I felt a little flat, but we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I probably won't because I don't watch trailers, but.
I usually watch the first one just to kind of get a sense. And by the time the movie opens, like once I've made up my mind about a movie, I don't watch any more trailers. So
yeah,
by the time they actually come out, like Furiosa and stuff, I'll have long forgotten about the trailer I saw.
Yes.
There you go.
All right. Well, I think that's enough meandering off of this episode, but see us in 2 weeks. We're going to do a comparison again, and hopefully you guys are used to the schedule now. I'll give you a chance to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Are you all caught up? Well, hopefully not yet, but you know, keep listening to the episodes, keep telling everybody about the show, keep helping us grow. If you're not following us on our social media, you should do so. Invasion Remake on Twitter/X, Invasion of the Remake on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Threads. Might get off our ass and get us on Blue Sky now that that's opened up. And yeah, watch for us there. And if you want to email us, invasionoftheremake@gmail.com. If you want to send us your suggestions, your corrections, and your comments, and of course, those fan challenges. If you're sending us an email, I'm the one who answers them, so... you know, I'm a nice guy. I'll let you know. I mean, you might not get that episode if the movie's too new, too good. Yeah, might not happen. But the best chances you're going to get for getting an episode made for a fan challenge would be the movie's got to be at least 20 years old. You know, I don't need an Oscar winner. I'm not going to improve on that, right? But sometimes you can trick me if it's old enough, that it's if it's a good movie and it just has been forgotten. That's some fertile ground sometimes, too.
Yeah, and Jay likes a weird premise and a weird title.
Yeah, if you give me a weird hook, oh boy. Your chances go way up. Another way to get your chances to go way up is tell us where to find it. Like, if I can't find it, it's not going to get made.
Yep.
Simple. They're easy rules to follow. So email us your fan challenges, or you can do them on our social media as well. And Sam kind of hits some of those social media sites. He's usually the one on Twitter, and he will forward it off to me as well if he thinks it's a good one.
Yep. I will.
Another way you can support the show is visit our website,
invasionoftheremake.wixsite.com/podcast.
And over there, there's a list of all of our episodes and how to find them. There's the 31 Days of Horror stuff is on there as well. And of course, there's a big old button that says store. Mm-hmm. What do you do with a big old button?
You press it.
That's right. You press it and it'll take you to our TeePublic store. We got t-shirts, mugs, posters, PPE masks, magnets, stickers, pillowcases, all sorts of cool stuff. And there is well over 100 designs on that site now as well. Just in our store.
Just in our store
alone. Just in our store alone.
I did drop 32 designs in October. So.
Oh, that's right. Not everything sticks around.
Yeah.
Not everything sticks around as well. So mm-hmm. we've had some old ones that get retired. So don't dilly-dally. If there's something that you thought was really cool, go grab it. And you're helping support the show. You're getting a cool piece of merch. Yeah, we know you're going to be happy. Those shirts are really comfortable.
Yes, they are.
Really are.
And or hoodie. But, you know, summer's and spring is coming, so get yourself a t-shirt.
Or six.
Yeah, but I mean, the hoodie is good for that in-between time.
That's right. You know. And that'll be good for spring, that cooler spring air.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Also, give us a 5-star rating and a short review over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, because it helps get more
earballs
on the show. All right. Well, that's it for this week. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a comparison. Until then, I've been Jason.
I'm always Sam.
And I continue to be Trish.
And we are out of here.
Fortunately, I kept Wicked for Ethan. Oh, don't worry, I've turned it off.
It was on the canopy.
Splendid! I knew these new time bombs would come in useful.
Can't you talk anything but sharp? I've nearly been killed.
Sorry. I am sorry. I'll never forgive myself. You know, this room was meant for me. I should never have left you here.
What are you doing in that ridiculous costume?
Ah, I forgot. I regret to have to inform you that Ivan Dragomilov is now dead.
What?
Yes, events took an unexpected turn. However, the first part of our little plot has now been achieved.
You mean they think you're dead?
Precisely. I shall now have to disappear into hiding. And the rest, Miss Winter, is up to you.